Well, folks, we're in part six. Now, folks, part six is probably the most technical of all the lessons that we have had since the very first part. If you will remember, part four was fairly technical, and it was the second most technical lesson we had because it dealt with the gathering together of all the enemies of the Lord and everything that took place going into Armageddon. The tribulation time was at its close towards the last 30 days, maybe 60 days, and we've got all this gathering that happened. It took an entire lesson, an entire set of 1-8 pages of material with details just to tell you about the gathering. And then, of course, last week we dealt with the second coming, the time of Armageddon. And today we're dealing with really the 45 days that comes in between the second coming of the Lord and the beginning of the 1,000-year kingdom of our Lord. So I cannot, most of my lessons I am doing in the future tense, but I cannot change scripture. So at this point in the lesson, I must bring back a scripture that tells us what will happen next. The sun has gone down on the day of the second coming of the Lord. It is the last day of the tribulation. And the angel sounds a trumpet, and there arose voices, loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord." And of course, you know it goes on, "and of our Christ, and of our Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." How many of y'all remember the Hallelujah chorus? "And he shall reign forever and ever." Hallelujah, hallelujah, okay? King of kings and Lord of lords. That's where this passage comes from. That's where that song passage comes from. So by evening of that last day of the great tribulation, the day of the second coming of the Lord, that's all complete. But major changes took place during that six-hour period between noon and 6 p.m. when the sun came up. Appeared again in the sky because the clouds have rolled away. The thunder and lightning has stopped. Everything clears. It's a beautiful day. It's the joy that comes after the storm where the sun shines after the storm. You think, man, that was a terrible night. That was a terrible day. And then all of a sudden the sky clears and it's a beautiful day again, only for the sun to go down and for the moon to come up just as every other normal day. And that's what happens. But in that 6-hour period in between noon and 6 p.m., several changes have taken place. And I want to give you just a quick summary of those changes that have taken place. First of all, when the Lord stepped down back exactly in the same place where his foot left when he ascended in Acts chapter 1, his foot will come back and return at his second coming, put his foot back on the Mount of Olives, and that Mount of Olives will split directly east to west. It will take out, going across the entire dome of the rock where that Muslim temple is right now, and it will split it in half, and it will go down into the rubble, and an earthquake will happen, and that's going to happen as the mountain splits. Part of it will go to the north and part will go to the south. Following that, the ground inside of that earthquake will begin to rise up. And it will rise up to form a mountain that will be the highest mountain in the world. What has also happened during this time is all the other mountains have crumbled. Remember that. Mount Everest is no longer the high mountain. It will be this mount that is the highest mountain in the world. And on top of it, there'll be a plateau. And on top of that plateau will be the place where the temple of the Lord will be built. And that plateau, as you see there in that drawing, is 50 miles by 50 miles square. On top and covering over that plateau mountain is a canopy. The canopy, according to Isaiah, will glow and it will cover that entire area. Can't you imagine? flying in on First Eagle Airlines, going in to outside, and you'll be able to see the glow, the radiance. You know, it's like, it's interesting. You know, we all put a light bulb in a socket, and the light bulb just kind of lights. But when you put that globe around it, it goes on every place. Same thing, that canopy is going to do the exact same thing to the city. It is there day and night for 1,000 years. Well, out you'll see the arrow there go to the place of a river that's coming out from the back of the temple. That river will go down to the Dead Sea and make it fresh again. It'll also go over to the Red Sea and make it, to the Mediterranean Sea and make it fresh again. Now you say, whoa, wait a minute. The Dead Sea. Now let me remind you, the Dead Sea was created with the destruction of Sodom, Gomorrah, and two other cities down along that Jordan River. If you remember, when Lot and Abraham's families had to divide because they had become so great that they were stepping on top of each other, Abraham gave Lot the choice of either the land where they were living or someplace else. And Lot chose the beautiful green area down by the Jordan River that just kept on going all the way down to that right eastern tongue off of the Red Sea. He moved down there. Well, finally, sin had taken over that area so much that the Lord comes, and he comes with some angels with him. And they meet Abram, and in that year, he tells Abram that he is going to have a son, and then he goes over and tells Sarah that she's going to have a son. Of course, she laughs about it, but Isaac is going to be born the next year, 9 months later after that visit. But when they left, if you remember the story in Genesis, when they left Abram and Sarah, the angels went on down to Sodom and Gomorrah to pull Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. They take off early in the morning, in the middle of the night, in fact, in the middle of the night. And by noon, they are down to a town up on a hill called Zoar, which they are looking back at this point in time. And as they look back, because they've arrived at the place, the sun is high in the sky, as the scripture says, and the hell, fire, brimstone, meteorites, and everything begin to bombard those four cities. And it makes the destruction is so great from the angel that it causes that place to be the lowest place on earth. The Jordan River continues to flow and flows into it. Of course, it cannot go out because it is low. And so, therefore, it becomes the Dead Sea. And, of course, that leaches out all the salt in the area. So it becomes very salty also. And it stops flowing down through the Edomite land at that point in time. That is one of the reasons why the Edomites are going to have to move out of that area and go up to what we call now the Gaza Strip and the West Bank and all of that is one of the reasons because of the forming of the Dead Sea at that point in time. Now, the Mediterranean Sea is a different situation. Over the past 6, 7, 8, 9 months during the time of the Great Tribulation, we've got the destruction of all the fish and the sea creatures and the sea of Mediterranean Sea basically looking like it's turning to blood according to the prophecy. And we've got ships that are destroyed. We've got something looks like a mountain been thrown into the sea that kills all of this stuff. That has to come back to life. And the river that runs out of that city, out of the temple, goes back and brings the Mediterranean Sea back to life. Number 5 is the mountains of the world have crumbled, according to Isaiah 40 and Luke chapter 3, and the holy temple mountain will be the highest place on the earth. Every valley will be filled. In fact, the Luke passage says it this way: every valley will be filled up, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough roads smooth. That's going to become important to us in a little bit when we talk about the changes that are happening in the entire Arabian Desert, all the way down through the southern part, down from the Euphrates to the Nile River. The rough places are made smooth and they are made straight. The crooked places are made straight, and every valley is filled in between the Nile River and the Euphrates River, and every mountain begins to crumble. And of course, the high mountain of the temple is the highest place on the earth, the holy place. Now, this map for you is just for example. You see where it says the city of Jerusalem today? This is actually a map that came off of the internet. That arrow there is pointing to the city of Jerusalem. You see all those other towns and even half of the Dead Sea there? That map that is there is 50 miles square with Jerusalem in the middle. That mountain plateau that comes up out of that earthquake is 50 miles square. And that takes into account some of the Dead Sea that rises up to be the ground below to be part of the mountain. And so the Dead Sea virtually goes away and goes down and becomes a river again as it's pushed out of the way. That is the area which is going to be called the holy portion of this temple area. Now, with the moving of the topography there of the world, the famous Red Sea, called in the scripture the Sea of Egypt. You know about that famous Red Sea. That's the one that Moses had to go over with his people. Had to take them over that. That's where Pharaoh's men were destroyed as they followed after Moses and the people who had left Egypt. That sea will be filled in with dirt. And the land east and south of Israel will be turned into a beautiful oasis. Nothing will obstruct the path from the Nile River to the Euphrates River. So you see now what it looks like. We've got that Red Sea that is there. But in the future, that Red Sea will be filled in with dirt. And so it is open all the way across from the Nile to the Euphrates, as it will be in the picture that says them. But you also see that error there. There will be a great highway that goes from the Nile to the Euphrates. So no matter where you fly into or where you're coming from, your way to go to the temple to meet the Lord and to see Him at least one time a year, everyone in the world will be required to see Him one time a year, to go before Him in His throne one time a year. You'll be able to have and go without any promise whatsoever. This is not going to be like I-45 South at 4:30 in the afternoon, or I-45 North at 4:30 in the afternoon, or I-59 going towards Sugar Land at 3 o'clock till about 9 o'clock. It's not going to be that way, okay? It's not going to be, those of you in California, it's not going to be like being in Los Angeles where you've been to work for 8 hours, but it takes you 9 hours to get home. And then you turn right around and come back after taking a short little nap. It's not going to be that way. This is a great highway that allows people to come in masses to come to visit the Lord. It will all be changed. And that area where it says no Red Sea, the area that says a great highway, that desert area will also become one of the most beautiful oases of places that you have ever seen in your life. It will be gorgeous at that point in time. Now, the next point we need to make is that there will be no independent governments at all. That no independent governments will be regulated by any form or fashion of constitutions or congressmen or congresses or parliaments or laws. No place in the world, not in America, not in Britain, not in Africa, not in Morocco, not in Spain, nobody will have their own laws. Nobody will have their own parliaments. Nobody will have their own governments, because the government of this world will be governed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There will no longer be any Judaism. There will no longer be any Buddhism. There will no longer be Hinduism. There will no longer be any Islam. No longer will any of those religions exist in the world, nor will their religious laws control any of the people in the Lord, in the world. The Lord and His own rule will rule the world, and His law will be the only law. You will not get to vote on it. The great part about it is none of y'all are going to be there at that point in time where you're going to live under this, because you're going to be perfect. Remember, you'll be there in your robes of white with your white horses and everything else. You will be perfect at that point in time. But for the people that have not received their transformed bodies and their robes of white that live during the 1,000-year period, they will have to live under the law again. That's in next week's lesson, part 7, when we get to it, because we're going to deal with what's going to happen during that 1,000-year kingdom and how things are ruled. So we'll pick up with that when we get there next week. Now, through Daniel, the Lord gives us the following about this preparation time, because we're talking about preparation time. We've just come out of the second coming of the Lord. It happened the day before, the night before. We've just ended the great tribulation time, and now we're headed towards the 1,000-year kingdom, but there's some things have to be set up. In fact, there are so many things that I must tell you that I have had to choose and leave some out because I didn't have enough room to put them in. There's some details that we need to know about, and there's some things that are missing. But if you read the scriptures that are in the columns besides my summary and harmony, you'll catch the rest of the things that are there. Well, here's what happens. Daniel says this. The Lord says this to Daniel in chapter 12. It's an interesting passage. He says, "And from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished," the regular sacrifice is abolished, "and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and obtains the 1,335th day." Now, this is interesting. The scripture doesn't tell us that this word sacrifice here, is most of the time translated offering. The regular offering is what it's mostly translated in the Hebrew. For some reason, our translation has decided to use the word sacrifice. That doesn't have to mean Jewish sacrifice. It doesn't have to mean Christian sacrifice. It could mean Islam's sacrifice or one of Islam's offerings to the Lord. You remember, they make an offering to the Lord 5 times a day. 5 times a day. From the time that those offerings, or whatever the offering is abolished until the blessing that is going to come, there is 1,335 days. But he gives us another clue there. You see, it says 1,290 days. From the time that the abomination happens, and the abomination is when the supreme president of the revived Roman Empire goes into that structure there on the Holy Mount and proclaims himself to be God. From the time he does that until the blessing of the Lord's kingdom occurs is 1,335 days. But on top of that, there's 1,290 days, what he talks about. Now, I need to explain that to you. Now, understand like this. You need to understand this. The Jews have taken that dome of the rock, that mosque, back over, because there is no promise that another temple will ever be built there until Ezekiel's temple of the 1,000 years is put there. There's no other promise. We've got Solomon's temple proclaimed and measured out for us. We've got Zechariah's temple proclaimed in the scripture, measured out for us. And we have Ezekiel's temple proclaimed and measured out for us. What you must understand is that, let's say the Jews were in control of that area when the Supreme President decides to go in and take it over and to proclaim himself as God. If he goes in there and proclaims himself as God, that is abomination to the Jewish people. Let's say the Christians are in control of it. Let's say we, the Christians, are in control. Well, the Christians are basically out of here because everyone that, I'm just making an example, every Christian that is saved during the time of the tribulation dies a martyr's death. But let's just say the Christians were in control of it. If that Supreme President goes into that area and proclaims himself to be God over all of the gods, that's an abomination. Okay, let's say the Muslims are still in control of it. If any person goes in and proclaims himself to be God in Islam, that's an abomination. Do you see the abomination of the supreme leader going into any religious place and proclaiming himself to be God is an abomination in any religion? You follow me? Okay, it's an abomination. There's no one is supposed to claim to be God, even is in Islamic beliefs. So, the 1290 days, there's 1260 days, I'm sorry, of the Great Tribulation. There was 1260 days of the regular part of the tribulation. Look at the chart I've got there. See the bottom in the blue? Regular tribulation, first 3.5 years, 1260 days. The Great Tribulation in the blue, 1260 days. At the beginning of the regular first part of the tribulation, two witnesses show up on the very first day, and they get to witness for 1260 days. But if you remember, and I cover this pretty well, I think it's lesson three, the building up of the king from the north with the king from the south and the kings from the east to go in at the middle point of the tribulation time occurs, and they come down and they're going to fight and they're going to take over Israel. But the king of the west, that supreme president, goes over there and beats them there. And as they come in, it's this massive fight which takes 7 months to clean up the mess, if you remember. And he goes in, and he goes into that holy mount, and on that holy mount, and he stops all the offerings, and he proclaims himself to be God. It's the abomination of desolation. But as you remember, in the timing of the story, he still has to wait until the two witnesses have completed their 1260 days. So what Daniel is telling us is that from the time of the abomination in the temple, it takes 30 more days until the two witnesses have completed their time of service and he is able to kill them in the streets of Jerusalem. And of course, 3 days later, they're going to rise. Well, look into the white box. 30 days prior plus 1260 is 1290 days. So the scripture in Daniel states that from the time of the abomination until the coming of the kingdom, or of the end of the tribulation, is 1290 days, and that's how that's added together. But blessed is he who makes it until day 1335, which is 45 more days. That's where we get this 45 days of cleanup. So we must remember that Battle of Gog and the abomination of the temple happens when the supreme leader comes in at the 1260 day. He has to wait until those 1260 days is over to kill the two witnesses. And so that reference of the 290 is the Great Tribulation plus 30 days before it, part of the first part. All right. Now, with that, let's summarize. And let's harmonize, as we have in all these lessons, what is going to take place during these 45 days of preparation. It takes almost an entire lesson to do what's going to happen in the 45 days. Just like it took an entire lesson to tell us what was going to happen during the gathering for Armageddon and for the second coming of the Lord, it's going to take an entire lesson, the rest of this lesson, just to talk about what we know is going to happen during this time. There is so much information, but it's very detailed. First of all, there's the cleanup that's taking place. Remember, as the Lord left the evening before he left heaven, he called for his invited guest, the birds of prey, to come and to dine at the marriage supper of the Lord in the Valley of Armageddon to clean up all of the blood and gore that is there. That's bodies and everything else that have rotted where they are, and that has risen to the height of the bridles of the horses. They will do that in 45 days. Now, that's amazing to me because that destruction is far greater than what happened 3.5 years earlier at the Battle of Gog. And that took 7 months for them to clean up. But within the 45 days here, those birds will have that all taken care of. Next. Since 70 AD and the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, Jews have longed to rebuild Ezekiel's temple. In fact, if you've been to Jerusalem and been over that area, there's groups over there of Jews that proclaim that they are ready to build that temple and that they can do it in 3 days. Well, they've got 45 just in case there's a hiccup along the way. Where have we heard it before? The temple can be built in 3 days. We have heard that before, haven't we? That's right. Well, they believe that they say that they can do that. Well, the Dome of the Rock is there, and I'm going to hit this one more time. And it is a temple. It is a temple. It currently sits there on Mount Moriah, and it was constructed in between 689 and 691 A.D. from an order of a caliph who was in charge, basically, of that group of the Islamic side that was in control of Jerusalem at that point in time. No one throughout the centuries since 689 no group, no organization has been able to destroy that mosque, that Dome of the Rock that is there. Now, after the Jewish temple was destroyed in 70 AD, the Bible does not promise or prophesy the presence of another temple until the temple of Ezekiel is built for the 1,000-year kingdom. Now, it is doubtful, according to me, this is not according to the Bible, but it is doubtful that that Dome of the Rock will be destroyed until the second coming of the Lord, when he will split it in half when his foot touches the Mount of Olives and the earthquake, the quake, destroys that temple and buries it in the rubble as the mountain begins to rise. So with that, the Holy Mount there will become the highest place, but that Dome of the Rock and that apostate religious group that controls it now will all be done and over with. Yes, ma'am.